CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Wake up.
You are chilling with the worst guys.
It's a beautiful morning.
It's a fantastic morning, baby. At a Clippers game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. They mad at me too, I got more five. Why these bitches see you? Go home, ride. See it's a mirror in my bed. Yeah. What is up? What is up, beautiful people? Good morning. Such a blessing to be with you today.
Amen.
My name is Malcolm Dooley. I'm chilling with the main homie, Riobe Tusasele.
What is happening, international and local?
Yo, yo, yo. It's Wednesday.
It's worst Wednesday, baby.
That means we're doing it in the worst way, but we're doing it for breakfast. It's the best breakfast with the worst guys.
You already know.
You already know what it is. Welcome, welcome, Malcolm. What's up, my dog?
Dog. It's good to be back in the 011, man.
Good to be back. Yeah. You were in Dubs, right?
Yeah, I don't even know the area code, so I can't even say.
Yeah. You were up in the hills, up in the lollies.
Yes.
Is there anything exciting that you did that you wanna tell us about?
My God. I don't know if people, know about this. Microlight. I was flying without a metal structure around me.
Yeah, you're being brave now that you're dating a white girl, eh?
No, dude. Like, yes, it's new experiences in life. Things that I wouldn't have done as by myself.
Yeah, so how was it going on the microlife, man?
I don't want to lie, that was some inspiring shit.
Yeah.
I got to see, the coastline of Durban. We flew over. Dude, I was even, to the pilot. I was like,
are you sure we're supposed to be flying over the coast? Yeah. You for the 20-minute session, yeah? Yeah, not anymore, but you turn back.
I was amazed seeing the view, seeing the greenery, the beauty of our fucking country.
Dude, and the Durban coastline is actually fantastic.
Nah,
Durban is
we're
the most
blessed.
Underrated place
we're blessed,
in this country.
We're blessed beyond measure.
Awesome,
bro.
Man. So did you have to fly it yourself or did you have a guy who
Thank
was
God,
doing it for
no,
you?
Thank God, no. I don't think I would have been here right now today to bless you guys with my presence.
If you were flying it yourself.
No, not at all. I actually sat behind the pilot, but it was some messed up. Apparently, there's certain rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Such as you can't wear a hoodie or a
sounds
hoodie.
Like America as a black man.
No man, yeah, it's just that if the hood flies off, it could get caught in the engine, then you're gonna die. And you die alone, but you take the pilot with you because you're the one that gets the fucking motor stuck.
Man, so you can't even go on your ace. You have to take the other guy down with you. I guess that's it's like being on if you go skydiving. And you get, what would you do if you went skydiving
and the parachute failed?
Yeah, and the homie tells you, dog, I know I told you I'm a pro, but this ain't working, bro. We're going down.
Then I just know it's my time. And God is taking two for the price of one. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah. All right. No, but that's exciting stuff, man. I need to do something like that
I'm
one
telling
of these
you,
days.
Man. And I watched a movie that was also inspiring, you know. Well, I felt so. You seem to have, you sit to feel it way about the movies that I like, bro.
Who, me?
Yes.
What do you feel? What movie did you watch that inspired you?
Why him, bro? I don't know. I just looked at it from a different sort of angle. The way people have money out here, people. If you are not awake right now and up on your grind, then you need to wake up.
So you were watching rom-coms with the girl. That's what is happening now.
You know what I'm saying? Standard procedure.
All right, cool.
Casual Monday.
Nah, man, it's good to have you back. It's good to have you back in the studio. And it's good to be with you guys out there on this lovely Wednesday morning, man. It's been such a epic holiday. Well, not really holiday for us at the worst guys, because we've been doing the breakfast show while Gareth Cliff has been gone. And yeah, we've really been enjoying chatting to you guys in the morning. We hope we give you guys that love, that energy that you need, whether you're going to work, whether you're still on holiday. Hey, it's getting to that time, man. It's getting to that time where the groove is starting to come back. Joburg is starting to have that rhythm again. Just a little bit by little bit. What do you think?
I don't know if Checkers and Clicks and CNA have already started with back to school.
Oh, dude, they definitely have. there's Checkers, there's Tuffies. All of that is all here, dog.
Are you a Grasshopper or you're a Tuffies fan?
Ah, dude, Tuffies. Tuffies are the only way. You know, I felt like such a loser when I couldn't afford Tuffies, my boy. You know when you buy those knockoffs, those generic knockoffs. I'm like,
it started with a T as well, but it didn't say Tuffies.
Yeah, you see, Tuffies you can even hit a nice moonwalk with, bro.
You could slide when you were late. You just run, and then at like three doors before your period, you just slide.
I'm here.
I'm just in time.
Yeah, so those adverts are going out. If you've got children, get your stationery for your kids, man. I don't know what that life is like. For us, it's still waking up, bringing you that fresh show in the morning. And I hope you're having a blessed time, man. We'll be chilling with you until 9 a.m. this morning. You are with the worst guys on cliffcentral.com. That's 24K by Bruno Mars. Welcome on this breakfast show with the worst guys. My name is Mark. I'm really keeping you company until 9 a.m. this morning. We're having a damn good time, that's for sure. No matter what. We're talking a little. You reminded me a lot about our school days where you talk about Tuffies or Grasshoppers. And what were you like in school? Do you care to go through it with us?
Me, back in high school?
Yeah.
Or are we talking junior school? Because those are two different beings.
Okay, let's go through both. We've got time. Okay, let me start with this. Would the primary school you be happy with the you now?
With the primary school?
Would he be like, yo?
I don't think the primary school me would have anticipated to turn out into the me right now. I thought, like, honestly speaking, in primary school, I thought I was going to be like a fucking Albert Einstein, you know, creating new laws like Newton and stuff like that, you know.
No apple fell on your head?
No, bruh. All that fell on my head was a fucking, you know, an eighth man bouncing me, and then now I'm getting concussed, and then... I'm sure that's the reason why I'm landed up in this position right now.
Yeah, concussions from primary school rugby. Because this is the thing. I think primary school me would punch me in the dick, to be honest. Would look me at like, you're a fucking asshole, dude.
You're a bad man.
You're a bad man.
My mommy always told me to stay away from guys like you.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, when I was in primary school, I was naive. I was never drinking. I was never smoking. I was never partying. I was that guy, dude. I used to look at people.
No, you were never living life.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially. Then I had my first taste of alcohol. Then I was like, okay. So this is what the hype is all about. It was a pretty good hype, except that the first time drinking wasn't a very great experience.
Yeah,
it was actually in high school. So see, I think that's where the change happens. Because primary school, I think for the most part, we're all sweet and naive. And then high school comes along, and then you start to see the dangers of real life. Because people that are older than you, the matrix, for example, they almost going into the grown man life. So they know these things.
I think also there's a difference in the high school. There's a difference between the day scholar life and the border life. Like, the border life is real.
Yeah, the border life is insane, which is what we lived when we were at school. And I quite liked being a border.
Yeah.
It was just the thing of being at an all-boys school is a bit of a hack, my boy.
Well, if you don't know how to manipulate the system.
Did you know how to manipulate the system? Ah, those guys.
You just have to be a goody-goody two-shoes all the way up until, you know, grade 11 voting systems. Then, you know, you get voted into power once you're in a position of power. You know, just like Tony Montana says, first you get the money, then you get the power. Hey, you're a boss. Hey, you're a bitches. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I thought about that. All right, cool. So you were more of a goody two shoes in high school as well, because I feel like as you were deputy head boy, right? That takes some, you know, Obama swag.
Yeah,
you're gonna have some presidential, and we shall not have ladies visiting our residences after 8 p.m.
However, we will have sleepovers. Where for occasion may take place in a hostel. Showering can be done after hours, during meals.
That's your policy.
I remember the ex, my ex, right? At that time. Like, because the thing is, right? She had to shower. Obviously, she had to shower.
Because she was getting dirty?
Oh, yeah, she was getting dirty.
Bow chicka wow wow.
So now I had to make a plan, you know? So when all of the boarders went for breakfast. All right. I went to my phone and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna message her to go shower as soon as, you know, the housemaster was saying grace.
Yeah.
So as he said, let's bow our heads.
Yeah.
I already had the message typed up, and then I just pressed send.
Dude, you know? High school was a crazy time for me because that time I was still a Bible basher. A heavy Bible basher. I only started to become a bad man really in like grade 10, 11. That's when I started jumping the fence, bunking out. Sorry, headmaster Mr. Thomas, to expose myself.
No, there's nothing to be sorry about. Even I'm sure he did it in his prime. And it was much easier.
Yeah. And the thing is, the strain on drinking in high school is actually a bit intense because I remember getting busted, right?
Yeah.
And I got 50 hours. Of my life, community service taken away from me for drinking in the hostel. I was like, holy shit. But now I see why. Because, I mean, I should have been, should have stayed a Bible basher. I was a sacristan. You know, I used to give out the bread and the wine. The bread which we break. Is it not a sharing of the body of Christ? We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. I don't even remember the lines. And there was extra Bible study class. Now, this is on top. We went to an Anglican school, for those of you who don't know. And we went to church 6 days a week. 6 days a week, because every morning we had chapel, and then the boarders had it on Sunday as well. And I went to extra Bible study classes, and I was excited about them, my boy. On top of those 6 days of church a week, we used to go to Bible study at night and be like, yeah, John verses 13, my boy, did you see that thing? We weren't talking about the latest episode of Game of Thrones. Yes. Talking about latest episodes of the Old Testament. That's what we're talking
like,
about.
Like, you see, I'm sure God was even like, Mark, it's you again, bruh. See, yes, God. I know. I was here yesterday. I'm back again.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
God was too tired of me. He's like, this guy is giving it. He's giving it up too easily.
Hey, but you're reaping the rewards now.
Hey,
right?
Yeah, you came through. Okay, yeah. So this is the thing. Because when you think about the person you were at school and seeing who you are right now, did you ever see yourself becoming a radio host, a comedian? Because for me, I've always kind of sensed that. Okay, in this classroom, I like talking the most. I like being that class clown at the back who's going to make comments.
I'm not going to lie. The possibility of it happening, you know, it did cross my mind.
All right.
Otherwise, we would have never steered into this direction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It has to have crossed your mind at some point in time. And I know for sure that it passed in our minds, especially my mind in high school.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, being put on the, like, dog. How long have we been chowing the limelight, though? Let's be honest. Let's just be honest.
You see, one of the cool things about our school doing extra subjects with the other schools, I did drama with the girls' school, but primarily just to see girls at least once a day.
Yeah, no.
Actually, I was quite lucky because I did history as well, which was a combination with our sister.
You were one of the lucky few, you know, because a lot of guys, you know, because I know the year before, the business studies, all right, it was with the sister school.
Yeah.
And then everybody took business studies, anticipating that, we're going to be with the sister school. But too many niggas ended up taking business studies. And then they said, listen, the class is too big, we can't shit. I'm like,
That's the only reason why I wanted to get in this class, man. Damn.
And no, those subjects exactly with those girls in it, how well did you do? When there's a female around, you do well.
Yeah.
I think so as well.
I don't know. Would you send your child to a boys' school?
Hey, I don't want to lie. Just based on, principal and having him brought up right. Not necessarily saying that if you go to a co-ed school, you're not brought up right.
Yeah.
But just that the mannerisms and
the institution, the respect
etiquette,
for elders. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That an all-boys school and an all-girls school, you know, instills in an individual. I have to have that in my child. And as soon as he gets to grade 8, I don't want to lie, he's going straight to boarding school. First class ticket, straight to boarding school.
Yeah, okay, so maybe that's a factor that we can start thinking about and talk about the influence of being at a boarding school in comparison to being in a co-ed school and what that does for your integration into real life, man. But yeah, we hope you're having a fresh morning. You are chilling with the worst guys. My name is Mark and Julie, hanging with Ria Beso Sesele.
What up?
And this is Cardo with Squad.
Look at the squad.
That's Cardo with Squad. Hope you're having a beautiful morning, man, and I hope you're chilling with some beautiful people. Yeah, that's Beautiful People by Chris Brown. Man, I miss that Chris Brown. In fact, how long has Chris Brown been fucked up?
Since
he beat Rihanna.
Hey, man.
Yeah, dude, at 16, Chris Brown was going towards the Michael Jackson Prince route.
Yeah,
where everybody really loved him. Your granddad would buy a Chris Brown CD when he was singing, like, know your name, but excuse me, miss. I say that. That was sweet old innocent Chris Brown. Then he started hitting women, getting tattoos, smoking angel dust, and then he became the thugger thugger that we see in
front
of us.
But I
right
think
now.
He's undercover always been that way. Let's not forget, money doesn't make it the man. It just amplifies who you really are.
And he's a nigga. At you the know? End of the day, he is. That's what Chris
Even
Brown
in that song, Give Me That, he's like, Mama, you may be 3 years older, but you had 3 years older, and you're 16, my boy. Three years.
Yo, you must have been in the game, that guy. Yo.
No. He's, don't laugh.
His girl is a Ben 10, but he's also hitting it with a Ben 10. As a Ben 10.
And who is that girl that is going for a guy that is 16 years old?
Yeah, but he still has a $1 million hook, though. If you can put Chris Brown on your hook, your song's gonna be a hit.
Yeah, and DJ Khaled knows.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, he just puts Chris Brown on, and before Chris Brown even says anything, he's like, another one. He knows that $1 million hook, baby. See, when you're talented, you get away with shit, bro. That's the God honest truth.
That's the nonsense about society.
Yeah. All right, okay, so anyway, we were talking a little bit about school. Do you think school adequately prepared you for life?
No.
No way. No way whatsoever. All right.
Well, in the sense of, like, you know what you can really take away from school stuff, like life orientation. People are really undermining life orientation.
Life orientation was real. Was you
know, there were the way there are some guys who actually don't know how to put a condom on. And life orientation teaches you that.
I think we have a couple of people in our grade who failed life orientation, rolling around with kids now. Is it a shameful thing? I mean, we're 24 now. Is that still too young to have kids? Well,
like I know there was a guy who had kids. He had a kid when he was in grade. Was in grade 9.
Yeah.
And we were in grade 10.
Oh shit.
I don't want to mention the name because I know his full name, surname as well, given by the government.
Yeah, but so life orientation is important.
Life orientation is the plug. You know, it's better than maths.
True story, because you don't use maths in real life.
You know, it's not like you're gonna say calculate, you know, using X and Y when the robot is gonna open and then cross.
But you're definitely gonna use how to make a CV, how to do a job interview.
You know, life doesn't teach you that.
I mean, like a school does.
School doesn't teach you that. Sorry. Yeah. And the best schooling system, you know, which I graduate cum laude from the University of Life.
Okay, wait, before we get to university, I still want to talk a little bit about high school, because there is a big difference between the two. Like, failing in high school and failing in university are completely
two different things.
Yeah, I think failing in high school must kill you psychologically to be going with the same grade, going smoothly, and then you get down to the grade below you, especially at a school like ours where hierarchy was so important, standard order. Now all of a sudden these guys who are calling you by your surname as you walk past are now the same as you.
Not only just that, you know, boys will be boys.
Yeah, they're gonna have you, boy.
Whether you
doing what? You've been here for 6 years. Yeah, but in terms of subjects like tax, we didn't learn tax at school. How would we not learn about tax at school? That's such an important factor.
In accounting, we did.
Did we? Okay. I don't want to lie.
But I slept through that. Hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
But what else would you have suggested we studied at school other than the things that we did have? Because agriculture is something I think we should have learned about, how to grow your own food, crops, whatever the case may be. Yeah. If that's your thing as well. So I just wish we implemented more practical subjects. When I think about a school in my mind, the most ideal school, it would be just an institution where you don't have to go. It's not compulsory. When you go, you must go because you want to go and learn something. And it's
filled this school of yours is nice, huh?
It has to be. It has to be so let. We're living in the future now, my boy. This thing of making ourselves suffer for no reason. We like doing this as human beings. We like to make it tough for ourselves just so we can be like, no, we're not living on easy street. Let's live on easy street. That's why we go to school. That's why we do all this shit, is to make our lives easier. But anyway, so there's internet at the school. wireless fiber internet uncapped. If you want to go and get all the porn you can get, that's your prerogative. But we have the internet and you can go access information there because Google has all the answers.
Okay.
You just need to learn how to research. And we have teachers on standby. So for various topics, we'll have experts, for example. And you contact those experts when you need guidance or you have a query about that particular subject that you're thinking
See,
about.
But when you're putting it in that context as well, you know, then we wouldn't even need to go to a specific institution or a place for that to happen. We could have it right at our homes.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that could be the place to go outside of your home because we don't, if you're looking at an institution now, if we're looking at a common place of knowledge, it's almost
a library.
It's a nouveau library. It's a neo library. That's what I'm thinking it is because the thing of making school compulsory is also a problem. I definitely think compulsory schooling is what causes a lot of detention. Were you a guy who spent much time in detention?
Not actually, yeah.
Really?
I think I can count on one hand and still have fingers left over how many detentions I've been in.
Yeah. Ah, my boy, I lived in detention, dog. Yeah. Every day, every Sunday.
I think detention lived in you.
Yeah. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe that's the truth.
What was it? From grade 10?
Yeah.
Straight up into matric?
Yeah, I know.
You had detention.
I was still clocking
religiously.
Those 50 hours. I was still clocking those 50 hours, my boy.
You were breaking the holy bread in detention.
Yeah. Don't drink, guys. Don't drink. Even if you're in school, listen. But yeah, tell us if you think school adequately prepared you for life. We are also on WhatsApp, so you can contact us here on 079-748-2090. What does schooling do for you? Varsity was a whole nother thing for me.
Yeah. I think varsity is real life.
That's where it gets real because although it's majority theory, I think the difference between real life and varsity is just the implementation and how practical the theory you learn is in varsity. But varsity, you learn about who you are and what you're doing. And I think that's when you start to first realize that it's all up to you. Ain't no school, ain't no teacher going to take you to where you want to be.
And the thing is, we didn't want to believe our high school teachers and said, lecturers don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah, they really don't,
man. I mean, I won't lie. I was always like, ah, this is some bullshit. Gonna get to university. It's gonna be the same thing. I just get 49%. Teacher's gonna find some marks for me. Give me maybe 55, 56. And then I'm gonna breeze through.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. There's no mercy in varsity.
Dude, the adverts. The science faculty. There's no supplementary, my boy.
What? Imagine.
Zero supplementary.
You fail, you're gone.
You know how tough it is getting 49 and having to do the whole fucking module again.
That's real. Okay, so tell us about your school experiences. Tell us if school is actually valuable in what it teaches you to prepare you for life. And we'll get back to you. Hit us up on WhatsApp. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here all morning until 9 o'clock. My name is Mark and Julie hanging out with Ria Betwesesele.
Wake up.
Wake up. Hope you're having a good Wednesday morning.
Dark nights in my prayers.
I remember you was conflicted.
Yeah. That's Kendrick Lamar. Sometimes with I did the same. All right. I hope you guys are feeling good. I hope you're feeling all right on this Wednesday morning. You're hanging with the worst guys, taking you through till 9 a.m. We've just been talking a little bit about school, our school experiences, and whether that did prepare us adequately for life. We've got a poll going on Twitter asking that very same question. Tell us how you feel. Did school adequately prepare you for life, or did you come out here and you're like, this is insane? Because it's always like when you're in grade 9, oh dude, grade 10 is hectic, bro. Grade 10 is so much harder. Then you get to grade 10, grade 11 is the hardest. You get to grade 11, all the exams, matric's the hardest. You go to varsity, it's the same story. And I think it is exactly the same when you come out of varsity and it's like, when you finish your honors degree, even if you get your honors, like, or your masters, you come out to real life, like, yo, from masters to real life, it's a jump, my boy, are you prepared? And you obviously just hope you are as prepared as possible. Each level gets harder. Maybe death is harder than life. We don't even know. We're busy stressing out here. What?
You know, that's a topic for a different day.
Yeah, that's a topic for a different day. I will get into that a little bit. But yeah, join our poll on Twitter and tell us whether you think school adequately prepared you for life. Yeah, before we finish up this first half of the show, we have an amazing guest coming up in the second half of the show.
Artist.
You know what we're about, man. We know conversate with the fake, if you get what I'm saying. So yeah, his name is African Ginger. He'll be coming on around 8 o'clock. But before that, we're just gonna get through some news stories with you and see what's been happening in our world, yo.
Mean-ass Playboy in trouble again. Playboy Penny at it again. Read about it. Extra! Please grab young Fallon! Extra! Extra! Read all about it! Life story of Playboy Penny! Extra! 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 Read all about it!
All right. So the first story that caught my eye this morning is about the ANC bash that's taking place at in Soweto on the 8th of January. So the Gauteng Liquor Board is allowing bars to stay open longer for the ANC's January 8th birthday celebrations in Soweto. This is for their 105th year as the ANC. And I don't know. How do you feel about that? Are these guys just getting wasted on our tax dollars, though, or our tax rands, rather?
You know, like, at least with the liquor stores being open longer, you know.
Yeah, the bars. Yeah.
There's more money flowing in. You know.
Woohoo!
Dog.
You see, the problem that I have with this is that it's only ANC specific, and I guess this is why it's making news, is that they can do it if they want. They can say all bars are 24 hours, and that would make a lot of students happy. I know about that. That would make a whole lot of students happy. But it's only for the celebrations. I wonder what Zuma is like drunk, because even sober, it's a bit of a situation.
No. I think Zuma knows exactly what he's doing when he's drunk. Zuma analyzes you when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Zuma gets lit with you so that he can analyze exactly what you do and then call you out when he's sober.
Yeah.
Osakum.
You remember yesterday?
Osakumbola. Ngalaloskati.
Yeah. Do you think Zuma is a good wingman? If you're out in the club and you're drunk, do you think he can hook you up with a girl?
Ah, dude, just the name alone. The name alone.
Yeah. I'm chilling with my boy, Jacob. Jacob, holla. My name's Jacob, and this is my friend, Rhea Petzl.
You can meet me in the shower. Show me why you deserve to have it on.
Yeah, all right. So that's just an interesting story that's coming out. Sorry, excuse me. Yeah, what else has been happening? All right, matric results. Oh, matric results 2017. We've been talking a little bit about school, and the matric results are coming out today, supposedly. What do you think about the people in the hood who are still afraid of matric results? Because for us, I was never really worried about what results I'm going to get. I always kind of knew I was passing when it came to high school. It just depended on the margin.
Exactly.
It's the 5th. Of January. They're coming out tomorrow.
I think it's just a great. It's just a thing of, you know what, you finished school. Congratulations.
You know
what I think.
Yeah.
Because it's a big thing. It's a big thing.
Yeah. To have a matric. No. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, We overlook how important and how big it is for a lot of our people. For example, back home, my little cousin was stressing about getting into matrix. Like, hey, as if I passed or what. I'm like, dog.
And if you think back to the reception you got when you got your results and you passed, and then,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's always a major thing, man. It's always a major thing.
But you know what people need to actually look out for, and words of advice that I want to give to those who are getting like 9 distinctions and 10 distinctions because y'all want to be, you know, taking extra subjects. That don't help you in varsity, man. That does not help you in varsity. I've seen people who got maybe 1 or 2 distinctions in varsity get, you know, further in high school, get more out of the varsity experience and go further. You know what I'm saying? Those are the ones that actually grind their asses off in varsity, graduate cum laude, ask the, okay, yo, no, listen, so how many distinctions did you get back in varsity? I mean, in high school. Ah, no, I barely scraped the barrel.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely do value the idea of us becoming matriculants as black people, especially. But the problem that I do have is the ridiculous rate that the ridiculous pass rate that is currently in place.
That's why IEB seems to be a better option for parents to just, you know, to in terms of education for their children.
Yeah, but IEB is expensive. You know,
yeah,
not
but
everybody
at the end of the day,
that.
It's just like the Checkers and Woolworths situation.
True.
You know what I'm saying? You know exactly what you're paying for.
Yeah.
I hear year in, year out, every single parent complaining. And not just in high school level. I'm talking about primary and even crèche level.
Yeah.
Like, these education institutions, they're fucking expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive to have a child, let alone two.
Imagine, dog, that's the thing. It's so expensive. And I think that's why parents get over it. Because they're like, yo, I could have been a millionaire with the amount of I spent on this child at school fees.
These parents who think, yo, like when their marriage is going through, taking a dip, and they're like, yo, let's have a kid to save our marriage. You're making it worse.
Then the kid comes to you when you're divorcing at 9. He's like, and then you have to lie to the kid and be like, oh, it's not your fault. Don't worry, it has nothing to do with you. Meanwhile,
that's actually quite real.
It's very real. Meanwhile, the kid is the only reason. It's like, ever since you, we've just been fighting about money. We've been stressing about getting you to school. You've been a hack, actually. Parents must be real with their children. It's like, my boy, you've actually been a hack. Let me tell you the truth.
Yeah, but with the same kind of, you know, emotion, love is there. Nonetheless, love is there.
All right, so anyway. There's more. The ANC, okay, this story is always funny to me. It's always funny when people in the ANC are calling the ANC out for corruption, especially if it's somebody in the top six. Okay, so here, the Secretary General, Gwede Mantashe, he addresses a meeting at Mafatsana Hall in Everton, Gauteng yesterday. Okay, and he claims that corruption in the ANC is so rife that it can no longer be regarded as a perception, says the party Secretary General, Gwede Mantashe. Hey man, the perception is the truth. It's not like we were imagining this corruption. Not like we were imagining almost becoming junk status and our bread costing 15 rand. We can see that corruption is a real thing in the ANC. We're not imagining it. This shit is not in our head, man. This guy is playing games with us. Playing games. I don't know what the ANC is thinking. The ANC should not be corrupt.
Wait, did you put ANC and thinking in the same sentence?
Oh, actually, that's a bar. The ANC should not be corrupt. And if the ANC is corrupt, then something has gone wrong. Okay. You think? Isn't it a bit late for that, my boy?
It's too late to apologize.
Okay, so now he's even getting applause. He's like, at this stage, we cannot say that it is perception. There are people in the ANC who loot the state. And when you loot, you destroy the ability of the state to deliver services. Mantashe said to a loud applause.
No, but the thing is, what did they say? Destroy the ability to deliver service. Were you delivering in the first place?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, he's trying to get people to his party. You know, that's what he's doing. He's sending out invites when he's talking about corruption. He's like, hey, come to my party. Come to my party on Sunday or whatever the case will be, January the 8th. We see you, dog. We see you. We stay woke out in these streets. But yeah, that's what's been happening in the news. And also just a little bit of sport. We want to talk about the cricket. Kagiso Rabada actually deserves a mad round of applause. He is actually... He's 50 test cricket wickets, which is insane, man.
Already,
my boy. He's a flourisher of note. He's on his way to become one of the greats. I'm serious. He's on his way to become one of the greats.
Hey, I hope he doesn't remove Makhaya Ntini's name from the history books. You know what I'm saying?
He might, because he can actually bat. That's the difference. Hey, George, you know, George Ntini, the only time he came through for us was for the 4-3-8 game where he hit the last winning runs. Makhaya Ntini.
And I'm sure he couldn't believe it himself.
I did it. So Kagiso Rabada's got 50 test wickets. He's got an amazing performance on his hands. What an amazing guy.
Mad props.
Respect to the homie so quickly. And yeah, South Africa at the end of the innings yesterday were 392 all out. Sri Lanka was standing on 110 all out. And now we are 35 for nothing. And yeah, play started today again. Oh my God, I was talking about this yesterday, about being at the cricket, man. That would be a dream right now. That would be an absolute dream. But yeah, we're about to go into a little bit of what our guest has to offer after this. We hope you're still having a good time with the Worst Guys. Yeah, that's Mirrors by Justin Timberlake. Welcome back. Welcome back to CliffCentral.com. We are here live on The Breakfast Show, chilling with Marco Lully and my homie, Ria Bisbisisele.
Wake up.
Hope you're having a lovely Wednesday morning. We have a fantastic guest in the building today.
Wavy.
I am chilling with the main man, African Ginger. Yo, African Ginger, say what's up there.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Yeah, easy. Welcome to the worst, guys. All right, so this man is a designer. He's a musician. He's an artist. He's a skater.
I wish I was a musician.
I've seen on your interviews that you have a very big inclination towards music and the influence it has on your design. Yeah. All right, cool. So we're talking a little bit about school, and we have a poll going on Twitter about the shoes that we used to rock in primary school. What type of man were you? Were you a toughies guy or grasshoppers
dude,
guy?
Dude, I was a grasshoppers dude for a while. Hey?
Grasshoppers.
I was always like against the grain, bro. Like,
oh, really? You had to be an alternative.
Yeah, like from like 12 years old, listening to Linkin Park. Like, I hate my life.
were you an emo kid?
Yeah, but deep down inside, I was like, yo, toughies are so rad, bro. Like,
yeah.
It was like the Adidas in primary school, you know what I mean? It was like the best thing to wear.
Yeah, exactly. It was the cool kid's shoe.
I'm sure you carried a Carrymore as well.
No, I didn't actually. I had those really nasty clip-on bags, bro.
Oh, damn.
But like, no, I wouldn't lie. Like, shout out to my mom. She's like bring out like the tightest bags ever.
Yeah.
So I always be like, yeah.
Did you have a totem? The totem was, that's the rich kids. That totem trolley bag that you couldn't even turn it inside out because we used to smoke people's bags in school.
Slave bag was the one with the multiple dividers. You know that big one. It looks like a file holder.
And it's bigger than the child's back. And yes, he will carry all his books.
But those kids now are vegans, bro.
Hey, there's too many vegans out here.
No, I'm joking. I love vegans. You guys are awesome, dude.
Yeah. All right, so we're chilling with African Ginger, man. Hey. And it's been a while since we've had a guest in the studio. Hey. So it's such a pleasure to have you here. And we're just going to talk a little bit about what it is that you do. All right, so I've seen some of your images. Here's the thing about radio. It's very difficult to give people images. So describe for me what it is that you put onto the canvas. Wow. What is your artistry?
Wow, my art is, it's really sporadic and really weird. I don't know how to explain it. A lot of people ask me if I like kind of dissect it and cut it down into like small bits and pieces, but I think it's just really a reflection on what's happening in my head, you know. Generic answer, but like, I don't know, my artwork is really ominous. It's pretty dark.
Yeah.
But it's weird. It's kind of like, I don't know, it contradicts itself because like the color schemes are usually like very pastel, which is like very happy and stuff. And then you look at the content and it's actually just like four eyes and like no pupils and people are like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My art, I would say, is bridging on lowbrow. Lowbrow is kind of like this really grungy kind of like, kind of punk, but not really punk. It's just it's weird, dude.
Would you consider yourself a dark guy, an emo guy? I know that's a broad term to use, but I mean, when you do your art, some people have to go to that dark place.
Dude,
as artists ourselves,
dude.
You know, we have to confront that other side.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a dark person?
In the context of my art, definitely. I would sit down and like spew out death grips for like hours, and listen to like Witch House, like Ooh, or like Salem, just to like get myself into
Salem.
Yeah, it's really weird, Witch House, man. Like, I'd sit down and like spew that shit for like hours, and I'd literally, it's weird, like before I work, I'll be sitting down, like I'll be listening to like, I don't even know like Tyler, but like new Tyler, like
Tyler
Cherry Bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be listening to like Cherry Bomb and be like, ah, cool, okay, I want to go work.
Yeah.
Put on Bastard, bro, and I'm like, ah.
You see, that's the thing though, the reason why I asked you that is because us as we're known as the worst guys, so there's something that we are presenting, there's this other half of definitely, humanity definitely. That we tend to ignore and that artistry tends to bring out
yeah,
out of
definitely.
People. It allows that because there's a lot that we like to cover
yeah.
and hide behind and say,
definitely.
Oh no, we aren't flawed. We don't have imperfections. We don't have darkness. There's a lot of darkness. And what we're saying when we're calling ourselves the worst guys is not that we're bad people. It's that those things that make bad people, we have them too.
Yeah, we have them too.
But we go beyond them.
We tame them.
We tame them. Yeah, we all have demons.
Definitely. Like there's beauty in the struggle and there's light in the darkness.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. You know, speaking about the whole like process of art, you know, I was like, there's this TED talk I saw a while back from the author of this book called Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
And he speaks about the concept of a daemon. And what a daemon is... I think it was Roman mythology. They believe that it was Greek or Roman. I don't remember.
Yeah.
What they believe was like, as an artist, you didn't create your works. You had an exterior force that came onto you.
Yeah.
And you projected whatever that force wanted you to project, you know. And, you know, with the Age of Enlightenment and everything that's happened, we kind of like shifted from our daemons to more about ourselves. And now when we create art, it's supposed to stem from within ourselves and not really from an external point.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people like so existential when they create artworks, and when like they've reached like a certain peak or a limit, they always question themselves. They're like, can I progress? Can I get better? I will never beat my level because this is who I am, instead of like saying that this is my daemon. And I think that's where the concept of a daemon comes from, you know, like all that negative energy to an extent is my daemon. Is it's something I find inspiration from.
Yeah,
something anyone finds inspiration
it's
from.
It's something where you can draw to bring
exactly,
light.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking about in terms of your artistry and where it comes from. For example, making music is something where the song just comes out naturally. Like today, like what we do on our show, if those of our fans who listen would know that we do a freestyle session every time afterwards. And the thing that we love about freestyle and the reason why we're willing to do it every time is because it comes out the way nature presents it almost.
Exactly.
It's a natural form of art. And a lot of the times I think the best art is always given. It's not created in terms of making something for the purpose of getting money
yeah,
or for the purpose
definitely,
of
definitely.
Yeah, I want to make a hit.
Yeah,
you shouldn't want to make a hit. You should want to make music.
For
something
yourself.
Should be coming out of you that you need to
definitely.
Express. And
the way the world receives it is that's their own prerogative.
Exactly.
That's what it should be.
Life's a matter of perspective. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
So your fans will always be your fans,
no
regardless
matter
what,
yeah.
of what
yeah,
you do, because
true.
There's people who are gonna like you and there's people who are not gonna like you.
It's the truth.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your music influence. I heard you talk
Whoa.
A little bit about Tyler the Creator.
It's crazy,
who are your guys? Who are you listening to right now?
Wow. Top five.
Top five. Top
Ooh,
five.
That's always a tough question.
Okay, yeah. Seriously.
In no specific order, give us your top five.
Okay, but like hands down, my number one is Death Grips, right?
Okay.
They're this band from Sacramento, and like they're this really weird experimental like hip-hop / noise / I don't know what to classify them as, but like, dude, I've never felt such pure creative like energy from these guys. They just, I don't know, dude, they're just so good. A lot of people hate them because they sound like trash and noise, dude, but like... Dude, okay, anyways. Second definitely is Earl Sweatshirt, dude, like hands down.
Oh,
since
really?
I was 16, man. Like
Jeez.
I first heard a friend of mine in high school actually showed me Earl's video Earl, and I was like still kind of innocent back then. I was like, oh, this is fucked up. And then I went to go home and watched it again. And I was like, well, this is actually sick, and that got me into Odd Future. So it's Death Grips, Earl. Wow, this is gonna be another tough one.
No, it's cool. I'm kind of getting where you're going with your taste, and your style.
Aesop Rock, especially
Aesop
Rock, dude.
Rocky,
not Aesop, dude. Aesop's cool, man. Aesop's like, if you're getting lit, bro, then Aesop. No, this guy Aesop Rock, he's like this really weird kind of like, I don't know. He's like this. I saw this thing on Tumblr a few years ago about Aesop Rock having like the highest vocabulary in hip hop.
Okay.
Cool. Checked it out. I was like, this guy's insane. So Aesop Rock, definitely.
Yeah.
Who else is Torre Moi? It's weird. Torre Moi is like such a contrast to the music I generally
listen to. You like a lot of
to.
Alternative things.
Yeah, dude, I mean, alternative music's like the way to go for my life. I mean, I think that's where I find my inspiration, especially from alternative music. And like guys like Bad Bad Not Good, especially. I mean, I saw them live like last year sometime. And I was like, whoa, I heard of them. And I was like, oh, they're right. You know, I'm not a big jazz fan.
Yeah.
I saw them live and I was like, holy shit, these guys are good, dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, man. Little Dragon as well.
Do you listen to music while you're designing?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Right, right.
Sometimes it's like one song and repeat for like 6 to 7 hours. So like recently, on that one. Yeah. Because like when you change songs, you change the process. When you change the process, you change the theme.
And the thread of thought.
Exactly.
As well.
Exactly. So like, this illustration I did a while back, I was listening to Thundercats, Them Changes, And like literally I played that song for like 6 or 7 hours, like nonstop. Like it was just.
And do you have any other inspiring elements that add to your creative process?
Dude, just the skate culture and the like Joburg youth culture. Cause dude, it's so interesting.
How is the Joburg youth culture, from your perspective?
My perspective, I think it's the epitome of South African youth culture. I know that sounds very biased because I'm from Joburg, you know what I mean? And there are some brilliant creatives out there in South Africa, and they're just amazing artists and just humble people. But like Joburg, you get your you know, your really genuine people. You know, you get your normies, and then you get your skaters, and skaters are just rad as hell. You get your creatives, and then within the creative industry, you get like your subcategories. You get your like your hipster ass illustrators. You get your really I hate the world, I'm kind of nihilistic about my life illustrators. And not even just in illustration, just as a whole, you get your nihilists, your punks, your skaters, your graph writers, your hip hop heads, your Santon bunnies, you get everything.
And bro, I definitely think that the energy flows from Johannesburg and spills into the rest of the country in terms of the culture.
That's the best part.
I don't know how much you've traveled around South Africa, but between the three cities, that let's say the three main cities, Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town. You've been to all of them, I'm assuming?
No.
Only Johannesburg, your whole life.
I've been like Mozambique, Swaziland. I've been like around like that side of South Africa, but I've never really gone in. So that's why I'm saying it's pretty biased on my side.
But what I really wanted to find out, what's the reception been like, especially towards like your persona and your outward appearance? Because like at first appearance, at first glance, obviously, you get a lot of criticism and judgment.
Yeah, the reason being is because you've got those
tunnels,
yeah, and tattoos, and you know that always comes with a certain perception.
Of course, from everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure, like, you tore your CV up like 3 years ago. You ain't trying to get a job. You're trying to do this on your own. What's the reception been like in terms of like general people and your family?
General people. People are just like, "Whoa, this guy's so rad, man." I'm not rad, bro. I'm like, I'm so lost. I don't even know what I'm doing with my life. You know what I mean? And then from family, it's just weird. It's like we all live in this house, but we're all like roommates. We're all like, it's weird because we all
deal
with our own shit, but we don't speak about our shit.
Do they support your work?
Seriously. Like, my family's always like down for my work. Yeah. Even though it's like, when I was a kid, I was like really like angsty and I was like pissed because like I'd show my parents work and they'd be like, "Oh, that's lovely," you know, and I'd be like, that's not the kind of like reaction I want.
I wanted you to be like, ah!
You know, but like you get old and you're like, you know, they still support me either way. It doesn't really matter, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so tell me a little, I'm starting to grow a little fascination about street art in Johannesburg, especially because I spend a lot of time in the CBD doing performances and Kitchener's and Malville, etc. And I've seen some crazy street art, and I wanna have you ever done graffiti on any wall?
Dude, it's crazy. I went to an art school, so me and my homies were like really sporadic in high school.
Yeah,
I
mean, what school was this?
NSA, National School of the Arts.
Oh, okay.
Like, we were super sporadic. So like at 16, like me and my best friend were like, "Whoa, we wanna be graph writers, bro. Let's do this, bro." So we went to this store, it's called Grayscale, it's like in Bramall, like it's up the road, and we bought a bunch of cans and we went to go like bomb out like this alley, and I just clicked in my head. I'm like, I'm not a street artist, I'm not a graph writer, dude.
Yeah,
I can't
that's
do
not
this.
Who you are.
That's a craft in its own, and that's like an intense craft.
Okay, this is what I want to get into when we talk about street art, is the intensity behind it, because when you look from the outside, it just looks like people were just vandalizing.
Yeah.
And it's not vandalism. Hard. There's so much more to it. There's one guy in particular, and I don't know if you've recognized, but his name is all over Joburg. Taps. T-A-P-Z.
Yo, dude, Taps, man. Taps is everywhere, bro. Like,
you know about this,
because
homie?
Because the social circles I run in, bro. Yeah. Like, his name is mentioned quite a few times.
Exactly. And, you know, but I mean, his name is plastered all over Joburg. Listen, legit. Anybody who's driving in a car, if you're going to work, you're going
right now, if you look to your left and your right, for sure, you'll see Taps.
Dude, there's a Taps. Within your destination, you Taps will see a Taps. Yeah.
Taps is like the epitome of what like guerrilla advertising is, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you just like what Shepard Fairey did like in the early like 2000s, late 90s, he would just like stick up like Andre the Giant pieces everywhere and like write Obey at the bottom, and people be like, "What the fuck is this Obey shit?" You know? And that's like guerrilla, that's genius, that's pure genius. Because if you want to get like anything hyped up or like brought up or just start like people questioning something, you just need to just do it, and just
you need to be in their faces.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do that, was just like do the most crude kind of like disgusting illustration. Get it like printed like A0, like hundreds of them, just like smash them all over town. Yeah. And just see how people react to it, you know what I mean?
All right, so I'm trying to understand the thought process behind street art, mm-hmm. especially when it's beautiful. Like there's one piece Definitely. Where there's a it's in Brahm, I forgot which street, but there's a lady and she's crying a tear, mm-hmm. and it's literally a drawing. Somebody took time to paint.
I know
a
exactly.
mural
it's
almost.
Like right. It's kind of like
opposite Wits.
Yeah, opposite Wits. I know yeah. exactly what piece you're talking about. It's like right opposite that graph.
Yeah, and there's that spaceman, that black and white spaceman
that's
on
my
the
favorite
wall. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
My favorite
you see, so those type of pieces are the ones that I'm still trying to understand because it's not just a name yeah. or a scribble. Somebody painted on a building, yeah. which is obviously not yeah. allowed to do. What is the thought process behind that? What is street art trying to say?
Street art depends on the perspective of the artist, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, even with street art, like, graffiti and street art are actually two separate concepts. Graffiti artists are very, like, heavy into hip-hop culture. It's like the epitome of, like, testosterone. Not really testosterone, because there's a lot of female graph writers yeah. out there. But it's like putting your name up.
Bravado, masculinity,
yeah,
and
street art is more about expressing the image in itself. Not saying that graph artists don't like painting murals. Like, they still love doing that shit.
Yeah.
But street artists, like, I'm going to be painting a mural with this Cape Town street artist named the Jack Fox very sweet, and I'm really keen on it. But
yeah.
Like, looking at his work, it's more about the content. It's more about the process. It's about the general aesthetic of the illustration in itself. You know?
Yeah.
Street art for me is like illustration plastered on walls, where graph art is like the culture in itself, you know what I mean?
And can you get in trouble? Do people genuinely get caught and go to jail and spend time for drawing on?
I've never met anybody that's like, I mean,
what time do you go and do that shit? That's what I want to
know.
Yeah,
like 3 in the morning.
I know,
man.
This is not who you are. You said after NSA, you're like,
nah.
But you run in the circle. So this is an interesting way to go about. I mean, like 3 in the morning, there's still nobody to be seen.
Yeah,
out there.
Dude. I mean, 3 in the morning is the best time to do anything. It's
cool. Yeah,
it's the best
yeah,
time
yeah.
to like work. That's
those
what
artist
those,
hours.
Those are the trill the hours. The trill hours.
No, but like, yeah. What were we talking about again?
Getting incarcerated.
Getting
incarcerated.
Man,
yeah.
I've never met a homie that's spoken to me about about being in prison or anything. I think the furthest I've had is like people tell me running away from cops.
Yeah.
Driving away from cops. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
so that must be a thrill on its own.
I've had a thrill and a half. Back in high school, we broke into Constitution Hill to go skate, bro.
Oh shit, really? Your mom's not just shouldn't be hearing that.
It was me and my boy Khotso, and we broke into Constitution Hill for skating. But we broke in onto the rooftop, which is kind of stupid, bro.
Yeah.
And so like the security came up and we were like freaking out, bro. We were like, whoa.
What time was
so
it?
So my friend Khotso's like, nah, let's dip, dude. So I'm like, no, I'm gonna be a genuine human. I'm gonna follow the rules and I'm just gonna walk with the security guards. They walk us down to the holding cell. They tell us we're gonna call Hillbrow Police because you guys are like going to jail because you just like broke into like private property.
Yeah,
you're gonna be held for that shit. And I was like, oh no. So this other guy suggested, how about we beat them?
What?
So they didn't like fist us or whatever, but like there was like 6 guys and they all had the opportunity to slap us twice in the back and tell us get out here. And that's as far as I've ever had it for law. Like legit.
That's so cool, Barry. Like, hey, you know, I feel like slapping somebody today. That's what happened. It's like,
dude.
I just want to give somebody one puss club. Doesn't matter where. Just
but that's such a nice alternative. Like,
I would have preferred that than going to prison and like having to call my dad from work and be like, yeah, dad, listen, I'm in Hillbrow, hey.
What are you doing?
I was trespassing.
That's a dope ass story, man. It's so cool hanging out with you, African Ginger. Much more to come. So much more to come. Yeah, that is Special Affair by The Internet. Absolutely love that band. Absolutely love them. Welcome back. You are chilling with the worst guys. We are currently doing a breakfast show in place of Gareth Cliff, and we have an amazing guest, African Ginger. We're talking about all things art, street art, getting caught trespassing in Constitutional Hill. It's a jam. It's a jam out here, man. I hope you guys are really having a good time. Ria.
Yeah.
How you feeling, boy? You still with us?
Ah, dog, I'm living. I'm living.
Yeah.
I'm actually like quite fascinated. You got a lot of tattoos on you. At what point did it become like just for the fuck of it?
Dude, my mom was always like, I've always wanted a tattoo since I was a kid. My mom was like, when you're 18, you'll get a tattoo, bro. So when I turned 18, I got like this tiger and I was like, yeah.
Did it have any like, no, like reason?
Like none of them. Except yeah. My chest. My chest is the only
one. That's an owl spread out on his chest. We have to let our people see that, man. And we also actually, we're going to put up some of your art onto our Twitter page. So you guys can check African Ginger out on our Twitter page at @_worst, guys, just because you guys need to see the kind of art that we
but
deal with.
But you love color, hey? Because not a lot of people, in terms of their tattoos, use color.
Yeah.
You love color.
I really enjoy color. It's there's a style called traditional style tattoos, which is like sailor style tattoos, like really original. And man, like, I'm a colorful person, you could say, which contrasts my work.
I don't think it contrasts your work. I definitely think it complements it when you look at it. Yeah, we definitely need to get this link up for you guys to see. But
it's like the yin and yang. You need it's the balance, like perfect balance.
Yeah, because when I think of your art and I see you are African Ginger, right? And you just describe yourself to people, because to me, I see a colored guy with freckles.
How did you even get that name?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. I'm actually a natural ginger. Like, a lot of people are like, nah, that's not.
Okay, so are you colored?
Yes,
I am. So both your parents are colored?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Parents are mixed race.
Colored. Okay.
So, you know, I had orange hair and freckles, and people said there was shit splashed in my face. And I was like, when I got Instagram like 2 years ago, I was like, dude, I don't know what, like, I used to go with like the pseudonym I had called Arcs, and I was like, yeah, that's gonna be dope. And then like I was just like, nah, African Ginger would work well. And the traction I had when I changed my handle to African Ginger was like immense, dude. Like,
yeah,
like, it blew you up. It was the plug. Like,
mad.
So is Twitter where you, I mean, is Instagram where you get the most of your traction? Where are your fans? Where do you reach? How do you reach your
fans,
people? The
man.
People who want to see your work.
Dude, Instagram, like Instagram, but Instagram for me, I feel like I give off this really douchey tendency.
Doesn't everybody who's dope on Instagram give off that tendency?
I know, man. Dude, like, sometimes you get like spammed with like 30 like comments, and you're like, yeah.
But
then you don't reply to DMs because like there's a lot of DMs, and you're like, dude,
it's so, go down in your DMs.
I've never had that phenomenon in my life. Maybe people don't drop DMs,
dude.
To me,
it's like overhyped, man. But like Facebook's really where I post a lot of my stuff, but like more like to my friends, because I feel like Facebook's more personal for me, because like a lot of close friends are on Facebook, so I can share like the cringiest memes ever, and like people are like, yeah.
All right. So now, just going back to the artistic process. I want to find out from you, do you feel that you have to be enlightened as an artist? Do you have to know who you are, do you follow the path, or do you meditate? Is there some sort of spiritual connection that you have in order to create?
It's craziness, man. Before I was like, oh man, you know, I'm woke, bro. I need to be woke, like wise, and I always thought that I've always needed a sense of balance, and like I needed to find the positivity in my life. But like, as an artist, you don't need to know who you are. You don't need to know anything about yourself. You just need to know one thing, and one thing only, that I can't live without creating something. I can't live without doodling in that dust. I can't live without painting something or doing something. Even if it's not for anybody's gratification, just for yourself. That's what it's all about. It's all about the craft, man.
Yeah, but dude, you don't think finding yourself helps in the craft?
Dude, the best part about being an artist is you find yourself
within
your craft.
Yeah.
It's the artist process that you were talking about.
Exactly.
Do you think everybody's an artist?
Everybody's an artist.
Yeah.
Everybody's an artist. Everybody can draw. Everyone's like, wow, you're so talented. No, I'm not talented, dude. I've just been drawing since I was like 6 years old, dude.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. And I just stuck to it and became a habit. Friends would tell me, dude, we don't want to hang with you anymore. Okay, cool. I'm sad. I'm going to go draw, you know. Girl, like, told me, dude, like, what's wrong with you, bro? I'll go draw. I'm sad. That's, like, it's my go-to for anything. It's, like, an addiction. It's a bad addiction right now.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it. I'm reveling in it. And I enjoy it.
Talking about that, where is the most random place you've ever found yourself doing a drawing?
Wow, this is hard, because I have a tendency to draw a lot of shit in public. Like, if I'm catching the train especially, I'm always like doodling nonsense.
Are you one of those bathroom cubicle artists?
For a fuck, call 07.
But
you said you like drawing noses in public. What's your obsession with noses?
It was an obsession for a long time.
All right.
I felt like noses are like... Because like, the thing with any illustration is, if you get one small aspect of a facial feature accurate, the rest just falls into place, bro.
Yeah.
It's like, I was like really obsessed with drawing noses. Like, this girl I'm really into has like the cutest nose ever.
Wait, did you have a nose fetish?
It's not a fetish. It's not sexualizing any aspect.
Oh, okay. I just need to make sure. I just need to make sure.
I don't get high and be like,
oh, that nose, that left nostril, though.
No, like, I really enjoy noses from all aspects. I'm just like, whoa, I did.
I got to cover my nose. Yeah, continue.
No. Okay. Right, I don't know. Right now, I'm really into ears, dude. Like, drawing ears is just really interesting. It's fun because, like, there's so many creases and every ear is so different in comparison, you know.
Okay, so how do you get to that point? Your different phases is just something that comes up?
It comes naturally. I think it's also like a bit of that formal training. Like, as an artist, you need to, like, when you're working on something big, you need to, like, break it down into smaller increments. And, like, when you're learning how to draw a face, you should be able to learn how to draw an eye, off the fly. So, like, what I usually do is, like, I'll look at a model or I'll look at someone on Instagram or a friend, and I will draw small aspects of them, like eyes, like, continuously. I'll draw a nose until I can merge those, like, pieces I've learned into something new.
To make
new.
The bigger picture.
It's like continuous growth. It's like always learning something new as you progress.
Yeah, that's dope, man. You see, that's the thing for me, that because you say everybody's an artist, and I can't necessarily draw, but I'm thinking about somebody who's not necessarily in the creative field, somebody who's an accountant, an actuarial scientist. Do you think it's possible to find art in the business world, in the corporate?
Definitely. That's the thing about life, man. Life is a matter of perspective. If you look at things, I mean, I don't know, in the business world, you definitely can look at life from a creative outlook. And you definitely can become an artist within your craft. You know?
Yeah, because I think artistry is about truth. And in terms of speaking the truth in your business, in whatever you do, that makes you relatable. That makes you valid.
Yeah, completely. But I think it's a bit of an intense topic to speak about, like, in the business context and art. Yeah. It's just like, for me, my mind just is not clicking. I'm trying to make sense of it. Like, yes, it is possible. The possibilities are endless in existence. But, like, being a businessman, you definitely can be a creative and you definitely can deal your business in a creative manner. I think most business people are actually highly creative people.
Like, I must agree on that.
But like numbers themselves, I mean, just mathematics, that's an art.
Yeah, it is an art. Figuring out a sum. Granted, definitely, I didn't do it much in high school, maths literacy.
Same here,
but figuring out a sum is artistic. You know, it's work that leads to a resolution.
I think it's the golden circumference. I don't know. I might be wrong. But, like, it's, I don't know, the golden spiral or something. But, like, every small aspect of nature, art, beauty, there's this mathematical equation that, like, really shows what it is. And there's math in everything. Like, when you do a sketch, when you do a drawing.
Precisely. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean. I think I might sound really retarded right now.
Cool. Yeah, we could just go into another tune for now, and then we'll wrap up with you a little bit later. We'll also have the Worst Guy Cypher, that you know is always the best part of our show, as well as the Twitter streets. We'll be checking out what's trending, talking with our boy African Ginger about the local stories and the crazy shit that's always happening, man. Hope you're having a good Wednesday, yo. Yeah. We are back.
On the airwaves.
Sorry, Not Sorry by Bryson Tiller. Bryson Tiller, this new, not new anymore, but sing-song rap. It's really catching big time, bro. These party next doors, Bryson Tillers, these trap homies, these semi-trap homies are really catching. Are you a fan of that music?
Yeah. Like, I caught on to the wave.
You know when you're in, like, Kitcheners and it's stuffy and there's trap? Kitcheners is a real trap house. If you're ever into Kitcheners.
See, no. When you're talking about trap, I'm not on that wave.
Oh, you're not on the trap
now
wave.
Now and then, there's a time for everything. I was actually talking to Dave Martian about that when I was at his creep.
Oh, shout out to Dave, bro.
Shout out to Dave Martian. Yeah,
he was because at the social gathering that we were having, like, there was a guy who was saying
social gathering. That's just like a euphemism for when we were getting fucked up.
We were getting so smashed, bro.
There was this guy that was saying that AK is better than J. Cole, you know. And we just went at him, and he was defending. And the thing that I love is that he didn't shift his opinion due to what others were saying. I love that, you know. People being able to stick to their decision and not follow the norm, whatever, no matter what. You know? But yeah, I mean, like that, just that. I mean, thinking that J. Cole is better, I mean, is not as good as AKAs. First and foremost, that's stupid. But carrying on, I mean, Dave was saying there's a time and a place for everything. At that moment in time, we were playing some trap music and it was flowing. It was going. Had we played some deep ass conscious music, it wouldn't necessarily have turned out to be the jump that it was that day.
True.
You get what I'm saying? So for every situation, it's not that there's bad music and there's good music. There's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah. All right, man, you are here with the worst guys. We are taking you through to 9 o'clock this morning, taking the place of Gareth Cliff. Oh, man, and it's almost over. I mean, this is getting sad. Oh, this is getting sad. But before it ends, before your morning gets boring, because we are no longer with you, we are going to look through the Twitter streets to see what's going on. There's one that's really caught my eye is, there's this trend, hashtag 100 heartbreaking lyrics. That is now trending in South Africa. One that I'm seeing straight off the top by at Yolanda 12,000. Akirewena.
Ana chelete.
That's a heartbreaking lyric for real, bro. You know?
I think the one for me would be Iman. Fuck what I said. Don't mean shit now. Like that was the one.
No, but he was hurting for real, dog. He was so sad, bro. Fuck what I say. The gifts. Yo, imagine giving.
Fuck the presents, minus well, throw them out.
Have you ever used lyrics to hit on a girl, to charm a girl? I think every guy has used song lyrics before, yes. Bro.
I think I've made reference, but not trying to mack and have the girl not realize what? That I'm using. I'll do it in a way.
A song that she doesn't know.
No, but I think guys out here literally. There was one of my friends who got hit on with that Drake and Rihanna song. I hear you go with them soft lips. Yeah, you know where the mouth square root of 69. I mean, that's so stupid.
Yeah, I see.
With a pop song like that, you can't.
I did that once as well. I was chilling at Kitchener's and like I walked past this really pretty chick and I was like, I have been completely unable to maintain any semblance of a relationship on any level. And she was like, is that Aesop Rock? And I'm like,
That's a nice like a link between the two of you. And then you guys started vibing, I'm sure, after that.
You see, so it works.
No, but the thing is, there's a difference. Like your angle was more of like, can we find something that we relate
is
on?
Connection, you know? If not, then I'm sorry, I just look a fool now.
I think the other player was just trying to make as if it's its own lyrics.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about. Like, let's say if you're going with a white girl, you must go with a hip hop track. You must choose Biggie or Tupac. It seems to me that you're jealous because I'm hustling and making money with the fellas. You'll say some shit like that. Confuse her. She can't know if you're making it your own. She can't know like, what. Oh, yeah, man, using song lyrics to get a girl.
It wins, bro.
I don't know. Can you think of an instance of a specific song
that I've ever used?
Yeah.
Nah. You know when you're driving in the car with your lady and like you've had like a rough situation or like you just had a little bit of a quarrel.
I just
tend to, you know, play,
a song in
you
know.
And then like
express
something,
the mood, bro.
You know, like Neo, you know, like, but you're just so damn sexy when you're mad, you know, because I'm a moist guy.
Yeah. I've always done some, no, I'm not the man I used to be lately. See, you met me at an interesting time. And if my past was any sign of your future, you should be gone before I let you inside.
Dog,
I'm
bars,
telling you,
bro.
You go deep,
bars,
dog. You see, John Mayer has bars. John Mayer has bars. You must use those things to get your girl. Song lyrics work. If you're looking for a way to go, use song lyrics. Okay, another one that's trending on these Twitter streets is hashtag Radio 2000. All right, they're producing this news. A traffic officer in Gauteng is spending... Oh, this was so long ago. What's going on, Twitter? This was Christmas. But anyway, let me just carry on the story because it's quite funny. A traffic officer in Gauteng spent Christmas behind bars after being arrested for allegedly soliciting a bribe. Would you take a bribe as a police officer?
You know, I don't want to say yes. I don't want to say no. The thing is, once you're in the situation, it's a different ball game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could say, oh, no, I'll never. If they put the money here, right in front of you.
Yeah.
That's the only time you're going to be able to know what decision you're going to make, whether it's going to be a morally right situation. At that time in your life, you could have not eaten for 3 days. 3 days.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, like, take karma into consideration as well. Like, you accept the bribe, and yeah, it could be negative.
It comes back
to
you.
It might come back to you harshly, you know, it could just smack you back. Like, not you having to bribe someone, but just something is just going to fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely get that. But I don't know. That's I just have to be in the situation. Hopefully I never become a traffic cop. That seems like a fucking trash job. Anyway, what else is going on? Okay, so we were talking about school and matric and what does in preparation for your university. Look, so now there's a trend going on, hashtag matric results 2016, which is always something that's interesting for the entire country. We're all like, oh, how stupid are we this year? Or how smart are we this year? You never know. You don't even know. Yeah. But I see a tweet here from @E2_pacify. It says, your distinctions don't mean anything in varsity.
Yo, that's
university
a
humbles us all.
Preach. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying?
You see, but this is why now our kids are like, 30% matric pass rate. I'm good at that. As long as I get my 30, they say these distinctions don't matter. So let me just cruise through to varsity.
Yo, even in varsity, bro, you got a 50. You're like, hell yeah,
dude,
bro.
Dude, 50 is a distinction in varsity. If you get 51%, you work too hard.
Dude.
Yeah, so that's been trending because the matric results are coming out. Apparently, they're going to be announced by Angie Motseka tonight at 6 p.m., which is very, very, very exciting. I want to see. I want to see where our country's going because apparently it's not looking good for us in terms of science and maths, and we should just have schools of art.
Yeah,
I think if South Africa was filled with just art schools, we would flourish on another level.
Artists are actually really insane.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really, I mean, good. Like,
amongst the world, we've just had the lack of investment.
Definitely. I mean, like, especially now, like, you look internationally and, you know, artists are recognizing. But, like, you look at how many young people in South Africa want to be artists in comparison to, like, the States or the UK. It's really drastic, man. Like, every second, maybe it's because of the social circles I run in, but, like, every second, like, teenager I meet is like, yo, I want to be a visual artist, bro. And I'm like, dude, do it, man. Like,
yeah.
Do it, bro. I want to be a musician, you know.
How do you make a living from your art?
That's a deep one.
I don't make a living, bro. Like,
you're still on the way up.
Dude, it's like crazy, man. Like, I was having this massive conversation with a good friend of mine. It's like, Seth, if you actually got your shit together, dude, you could be making some decent paper. Because I've had some really good opportunities. I have people really approach me and say, yo, dude, I'm working on this. Do you want to do this? And I'm like, I freak out, dude. Like, for me, it's not about the money, man.
Do you feel like the money pulls away from, like, the actual
itself, you know, the craft itself? I look at so many illustrators and, like, they fucking great, dude. And they're so money oriented. I mean, I guess it's the city we live in and the society we live in where money means everything. But as soon as you sacrifice the art for the arts, like, as soon as you sacrifice art for the papers, it's like, what's the point of even doing it? You know, now you're just being.
But you've got to eat. You've got to eat. I'm struggling with as well because there's a quote that Jay-Z, somebody who really inspires me, and he speaks about the fact that people don't just buy into art. People don't accept true artistry. You have to put some McDonald's on it. That's the phrase that he uses.
Dude, it's unbelievable.
You
like,
have to put some. You have
like,
to.
Like, literally, I actually did this as a little test. I posted this illustration a while back. It was just like, it was of a guy's face. And I was like, cool. See how that went. Average was like, you know, average like maybe 250, 300 likes.
Yeah.
Then I posted an illustration of like feet and water and I put the Adidas logo underneath. Mm-hmm. And that Adidas logo illustration like did like 30% better, got like 400 and something
really?
Likes in comparison to the previous one, which is it's the society we live in. We're all just consumers and we're just caught up in this massive web of like buying off brands and like believing that if a brand's put behind something, it's trustworthy.
And that's, I think that's where we have to strike the balance as artists, is that holding something integral to who you are in the art, as well as making it applicable or have a social appeal. You have to appeal to the masses, if you want to eventually become great.
Exactly. There's so many, like, I have hundreds of, my laptop got like formatted, so I lost all my work. But I had hundreds of illustrations that were unposted because they were just raw and just filthy and like just uncensored and not safe for work.
You lost all of your work because
you
never got formatted.
You know, I felt like it was a universal nod saying, "Well, it's a new leaf,
new chapter."
New. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just be you and just.
You know that actually happened. Sorry, just a side note. That actually happened to Kanye West. Eh? Yeah. There were a lot of notes and record voice notes that he did for The Life of Pablo on his phone. Yes, sis. I think it was who's this now? North.
Yeah.
Drop that phone in the toilet.
Ah, North, you bias. Yeah, and Drake also, he lost a BlackBerry with a whole lot of songs that he mentions it in, I think it's the Takeover mixtape, as well as Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean actually lost all of his music in Hurricane Katrina, I think.
But I think that's a sign that you are about to make better stuff. Yeah. Forget what you just did.
Yeah it's trash.
Concentrate on the new art.
Yeah. You can't fill a cup if a cup's already full, man.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bars.
Okay, cool. So now that we're talking about the future and the vision, what is your vision with what you do? Ultimately, my vision, tell me where is your oasis?
My oasis,
the place where you feel like you can sit, relax, and produce the art that you want to produce without thinking about the money. Yeah. And I know you may not necessarily think about it now, but in terms of you living your comfortable best life, and now you're just bringing it out. Where is that place for a designer? I have no idea.
Man, that place for me, I mean, yo, dude, like when I was like 17, 18, I was like, I'm going to be an artist. And I was like 20, I was like, yeah, man, you know what? I'm still going to be an artist. And like now I'm looking back at my life, I'm like, you can't live like this. You have to make a plan.
Yeah.
So where I see my life in the future, to be honest with you, I'm kind of just taking it day by day, illustration by illustration, and whatever happens, happens, you know. It was, you know, it goes against my beliefs, but like it's universally predetermined.
Yeah.
It goes against, like, if everything's predetermined, are you a free being? But like, we'll speak about that, whatever.
Yeah. We can.
That is so deep.
I'm very much onto that.
Okay, like, this is like literally this girl I'm really into. We speak about this all the time. Like, are you a free being? Is everything you're doing, like, you know, by free will, are you actually? I can stand on this table right now and say fuck the universe. I'm like, I could, but was that predetermined? Is there this massive system, or like there's this whole gear system where I fit into this one small piece and I form this bigger piece, like picture, you know? And I'm like this one piece of string that's in this massive tapestry, or am I actually free? Am I actually making myself? Which is like the most existential thing to have a question about.
The free will argument. Exactly. The free will argument is probably the biggest argument. So do you believe in determinism? Would you say that everything is predetermined for you, or there's what you call compatibilism, where it is you do have free will, but to some extent.
To an extent.
So your conditions that you were born into, you had no control over.
Yeah, definitely.
So
that's
the predetermined aspect of your life. So as a soft compatibilist, you'd say, okay, some of the aspects of my life are predetermined.
Yeah, definitely.
But
the way my life will progress is
based upon decisions.
Yeah.
But this is the problem I have with that argument, is that who you are and your mind that decides to go that particular direction has obviously then been predetermined. Because your placing when you came here was undecided by you.
Yeah.
So your choices of where to go are from the perspective of where you already are. So your choices are limited in one channel.
Okay.
Almost. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that I do believe in determinism. I think everything is fated. Even if there is free will, you are the person you are and you had no choice in that.
Okay.
Ultimately, you can make decisions, that small decisions that kind of, I like to dress this. So, I want to dress like this. I want to wear this.
So in essence, like, no matter what you do, you'll always be on the straight path. Not necessarily saying it's straight, even though the choices you make will waver, but you'll always go back to that original route.
Yeah, that original being that is you without your body.
Yeah, granted. But then, where's the freedom in life then?
That's a good question.
Where is it all then? Maybe, what does it mean?
Maybe the freedom is the illusion that we have freedom of choice.
Yeah.
I mean, that is essentially what life is about, is the ability to change, the ability to do.
Yeah.
If we were controlled by the universal law. Let's call the universe is G-D. I'm not gonna I don't wanna call him God, but whatever that thing is, that
it's
higher
supreme
power.
Deity, per se.
So essentially that is that idea of us being able to choose is what makes life.
Yeah.
Because if we were just going through the motions like sheep, and we didn't have any idea about what we want to do, we didn't have any choice, we wouldn't be living. We'd just be
surviving.
Surviving would just be animals. We wouldn't have this special element that makes us human. Which is free will and the ability to run.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the illusion. That's the only conclusion that I can come to is that the illusion of free will is what makes life life. But who you are is predetermined. I think of it the same way I think about love. If you love somebody, it's impossible for you to identify exactly why this person in particular you love, because there may be many people with the same characteristics as a person you love, but sometimes there's just something with someone where it's just like, whoa, I'll never be able to connect with somebody the way I connect with you. And what is that? You don't choose that. You meet this person somewhere, and all of a sudden there's this insane connection which comes from God knows where.
Exactly. Yeah. Or is it just a series of chemical reactions within the brain that tells you that I need to reproduce with such a person, thus I'm infatuated with this person? But even the concept of love, man, it's all open for interpretation. Like, love is a matter of perspective.
Okay, so you think love is
I don't think love can be defined. You know, it's like saying, what is sweet to you? Like, what is sweet to me is a completely, completely different concept to what is sweet to you. You know But yeah, anyways, where I see my life, man... Shit, dude.
We'll see tomorrow.
We'll see tomorrow. I'm just going to do what I need to do and just go with it.
All right. No, that's so dope, man. It's been so dope chatting
to you,
African Ginger.
It was really fun, man.
Some new perspectives, some philosophical perspectives, which I love a lot. So, yeah, just tell us what you're up to, where people can catch you. Plug yourself right now before we wrap up.
Yeah, you can find me on the gram, as the cool kids say. at African_Ginger. You can check out my really sporadic kind of don't post my dead plant Facebook page called CatFap. Stupid name.
CatFap.
Yo, it was like actually a spoonerism on Fat Cap, because I was like, yeah, Fat Cap nozzles are cool. So I was like, yeah. And then I was like, CatFap sounds
cat
better.
CatFap,
yeah,
it does.
Yeah, so CatFap, Facebook /CatFap. 13, you know, and that's it, man. I'm really reclusive, so.
All right, cool, man. Really, really awesome chatting to you.
I hope your
career goes super well. Maybe one day we can break it to Constitutional Hill and do some skating. I'm keen to live on that graffiti side of life, man. The rebels. All right, man, that's African Ginger. You've been chilling with the worst guys. We've had such a lovely conversation. Hope you have an amazing Wednesday. We're going to wrap out with the worst guy cypher. We'll do a couple of tracks. I'm feeling frisky today. Like I wanna create something, maybe with a chorus. How do you feel in there, Louis? Do you wanna go in?
I'll show for the freestyle. I'll try and go in.
Yeah. If you want, just don't worry about it. Don't even think about it. We're just rapping.
Okay, cool.
Alright.
Hey yo, I got African Ginger in the studio. You know how we do it, bro. We do it all the time on the studio. Hot on the airwaves. You niggas better be brave. When I release my lyrics, I call it a heat wave. Heat wave taking over South Africa. It's like a massacre. I'm coming for you and your mother and your father. Maybe that's too dark, but in the darkness I can spark some light into your mind and enlighten you. I might frighten you. Hey, careful, I might just bite you. I won't just bark. Hey, I'm not about to spark some darkness like African Ginger. Hey, I'm a mister blister. Pop your blister. Yes, I do it with my fist, sir. It's another level that you can't even seem to comprehend in your mind. I'm going all the way, all the way, the whole mile with a great smile. And I got how many seconds left? 79. I'm a mastermind. Hey, I'm just like Albert Einstein. I do it all the time when I'm working on my grind. Yeah, I flow. You hear it how I go. I bring the heat. You can beat it on repeat. Hey, get out of the kitchen if you can't handle the heat. Handle the heat. Worst guys, it ain't no surprise. You can see it right in front of my eyes. I like to mesmerize the ladies with the thick thighs, cause the ladies with the thinny thighs ain't got no meat. And I like my protein, cause I need protein to get more muscle. I like to hustle. I never bustle and tussle, cause I will kill somebody. If I had to be in a fist fight tonight, it's going down tonight. And it's the worst guys on the worst Wednesday. I need to go to work today. And that is a funny feeling for me, cause I just come from DBN with my lady and her family. Hey, you see, I was chilling by the sea in Salt Rock. Oh my gosh, I like hip hop. I do not like pop. I do not like to follow the norm. I do not conform. I like to be an outlier. I am not a liar. I'm just on fire.
Yeah, let's go, Stevie. That was too dope.
Nah, I appreciate the fact that y'all let me go handle in. That.
No,
rip it, Lotto, rip it.
You got it, bro.
This is like some five finger shit, bro, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going all the way in.
All the way up.
I'ma start this rap, I'ma talk my crap, I'ma do this shit. I went to school, I've always been the cool kid. Sitting at the back of the class and I always make my people laugh. I hate all my teachers, they were all preachers. I'm here, I'm just being a creature. Maybe I'm gonna get a drink, 50 hours of my life, that's so sick. I mean, I spent my life in detention, I don't even get to the mansions. I'm not that cool, I'm just a little old fool. And I'm here in the morning, Cliff Central is where I'll be. And you can see me, I'm the hottest MC, cause my light is so bright. I mean, everybody is down with the hype, cause I'm here for the night, but I'm not in here in the morning. Everybody knows, I like I said, other shows are boring, I'm snoring. And you should be waking up to the future, yeah, we are the future. I wish I could be somebody like me, because I don't need to go to any other places. I am the G, cause I am here, and I'm always blessed to be with thee. Maybe find out what's going on in your soul. Be an MC, I feel like Kim Kardashian should be my baby. Kanye West is the hero, but he's not the president like me. I'm a leader, and you can fear, you will never be free until I am in power, and you will all cower. I'm like Ghost, I'm doing the most, I'm selling cocaine, Pablo Escobar, and I'm always at the bar. Give me vodka, a double, you know, make it whiskey, and later I'm feeling frisky. Maybe we can go and watch some disky. Chelsea, the people that I'm watching, and everybody flopping, and I'm never stopping, cause rapping is too easy for me, Malcolm Dooley. So listen to me when I say, I've got 80 seconds today, but my flows will never stop, they always go. Everybody knows how to get on the show. Hit me up on the WhatsApp, you know that I don't take crap. Oh, we no conversate with the fake. I know that you can't relate, but anyway, I'm gonna take a break. I'm so tired, so wired. Everybody knows you cannot be denied when you are the star. Star boy, it's almost the weekend. I'm gonna bend this chick right over, and I know she gonna come over. Everybody wanna see me drive that Rover. Feeling young, I'm feeling strong. Everybody like that bong. I light it up, I hit a smoke, and everybody know I don't get a choker in your room. I mean, I'll be that prophet of doom. I'll spit that spray in your face, and you will believe everything that I have to say. Hear me today, this is so easy. Look at me, they stressing me about time, but I don't give a fuck. This is my show, this is my time. Let me get out my lines. I mean, I'm not taking no rails, but this beat is going away, and I had so much fun today.
Never forget.
Yo, you're chilling with the worst, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. We are out. CliffCentral.com.